Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
I just can't get over what is being uncovered here. I mean, social acceptance of recyclers in Bolivia. That's where American tax money has been going. Not that we can talk here in South Africa, but either way, it is just quite alarming. Joining us this morning is John Day. He's a U.S. attorney at law. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Good morning, Howard. How are you?
I'm well. Just watching some of these things play out, it is really just remarkable how far it seems to have slipped.
Yeah, there seems to be no limit to what where the money went, and just astonishing. It's amusing, but it's also disturbing to know and to find these lists of things. And it's, you know, it's disturbing to a lot of people in this country that money is being sent for some of these crazy sounding projects. Obviously, some are worthwhile.
We
haven't heard a long list, but when you get into the absurd ones, it does make you wonder how that even came about and who approved it and why. And,
well, that's what I was thinking. I was wondering how it works that somebody sitting in a room and says, I've got a great project that I think we should support. It's, you know, encouraging social acceptance of recyclers in Bolivia. And somebody in that room says, yeah, that's actually a very worthwhile project. Like, how?
Well, I mean, you know, these things began with the good intentions of rebuilding Europe after the war. Okay, I mean, this was and expanding the American influence through, information.
Yeah,
there was probably a long time ago, and I mean, there was a good intention here, but it just spiraled out of control into the ridiculous. And you know, everyone's getting a good laugh out of some of these, and you have to wonder what is the benefit to the American interest of some of the projects?
Well, that's exactly, because then the question is, as a U.S. taxpayer, what do you feel about that, or does it feel a bit disconnected that we say those things but you don't really feel it?
No, I think there's a general consensus, a general feeling, not only of Trump, you know, most fervent supporters, but just when you see these lists of things, it's just the concept of how are we benefiting here in the, you know, United States? How is that advancing the American interest? I mean, if you're trying to say, well, we're trying to counteract the Chinese, is that really the place where the battle lines are being drawn with the Bolivian
recyclers
into Bolivia? I mean, it's amusing, fascinating, and disturbing at the same time.
It is. What was the reaction? What are your thoughts around the State of Union last night or early this evening?
A great campaign speech, long, long speech. It fed the red meat to his base, who loved it. And, you know, one of the most fascinating elements of it was to see just what sort of state of disarray the opposition party is. I mean, there's just nothing that they can do. There's nothing that they are doing. One of the Democratic representatives got thrown out.
Yes, what was that? Does that happen often?
No, it doesn't. And it's actually very unusual for someone to get thrown out. You know, when Obama and Biden were occasionally Republican representatives would say something out loud, would heckle them, but it never rose to the level of someone actually being removed from the floor. And it was a ridiculous, I mean, it just looks awful. If you're the Democrats, you've got to be cringing that, you know, a responsible Democrat thinking, why are they, we're in bad enough shape. Why are we articulating this and advertising this to the rest of the country that the best we can do is stand up and yell and get tossed out of the State of the Union speech? I mean, it really highlights the disarray that the opposition party is in right now.
I thought the best they could do is wear pink. Some of the women wore pink. It felt so high school, that.
Yeah, and I think the leadership, what I read today was the leadership was doing all it could to discourage any sort of spectacle. And you know what's interesting is James Carville, I know someone that you've read a lot of, and his advice to the Democrats is just shut up and see what happens. Just stop making
ridiculous
moves that don't do anything and just highlight how lame the Democratic Party is right now.
And read the room, because that's something that they've failed to do for the last while. Before,
they're not good at that.
Before I talk to you about Ukraine, I need you to do one thing. We've been debating how we say DOGE. Can you say it for us as an American, please?
Well, it comes from your South African Elon Musk, but it's Doge.
So it is Doge.
Pronouncing it Doge,
right?
Yeah,
okay.
Like the Bitcoin, like the coin.
Yes. Okay. So that's
it. Is pronounced Doge.
Yeah. Okay. So we should have known, because it came from a South African, that would be the way it is. All right. Let's talk about Zelensky again. Very, very amusing for spectators, for some of us, to watch the debacle on Friday evening, but obviously it underscores a very, very serious issue. Take us through this.
It's been fascinating to pick this apart and unpack what happened. So I think the consensus, even among Zelensky's strongest supporters, both in the Republican and especially the Democratic Party, was that he, talking about misreading the room, I mean, he probably should not have come to Washington in the first place. And second of all, he did not. Look what Keir Starmer did and Macron. I mean, those guys know how to go into a meeting with Trump, engage in some flattery, get him sort of buttered up. That's what he loves, and that's what works. And they get what they want from engaging with him. I mean, there are some guys who do this really well. Zelensky messed it up, and I think that's the consensus. Not only did and the reaction by Trump and Vance was probably over the top and not necessarily helpful, but Zelensky and even his strongest supporters agree that he completely misread the situation. His advisors gave him some bad advice. He was walking into a trap, probably. And I mean, you know, there were comments about why he's not wearing a suit. That's probably to be expected, especially from the far right and Trump's team. But he just did not have his ducks in a row going into that meeting, and he paid the price.
From the way in which I was watching it, his body language to me was very, very arrogant, dismissive. There was almost an element of contempt. Trump couldn't see all of that because he was sitting next to him rather than opposite him. Vance could see it, which is potentially why he reacted the way he did. That said, the way in which Vance reacted seems to have triggered the events that happened. What is the thought around Vance himself during this meeting?
Yeah, good question. There's a debate about whether this was even pre-planned. Was it a setup? Had these guys discussed how they were going to approach it, or was it just something spontaneous? Mm. I think J.D. Vance is a kind of remarkable how young he is. He's 40 years old, and you realize how young this guy is. Mm. But I think he saw an opening. He's a very, very, very smart guy. And he saw an opening, and he took it. And Trump played off that. But you know what Zelensky should have? I mean, what Zelensky should have done? He should have had an interpreter to slow everything down and not let this language situation escalate. I mean, the smartest thing he could have done was bring someone so that the pace of the conversation was just diplomatic, was slow, and nobody would jump at these openings. But at the end of the day, he didn't do himself any favors. Of course, Trump reads today a letter he got from Zelensky saying, "I want to negotiate. I'm grateful. Thank you, America." And that's what Trump wanted to hear all along.
Very, very interesting, because I wonder if through all of that, if it might even have a better result make, you know, having had that very difficult altercation. South Africa's also been quite the focus from, you know, many parts of the administration. That's obviously very prominent here in the U.S. Is that something that people are hearing about, or is it only if you have a special interest in South Africa?
Well, the last time it was in the news was the Trump was essentially welcoming farmers to come into the U.S., claiming that, you know, and again, I still, and we've talked about this before, I believe that he gets, you know, I think his best buddy right now is Elon, and I think he hears from Elon's perspective on things, and that's a unique pipeline. I mean, Elon's no longer, I don't think he has dual citizenship anymore. I think he's a U.S. citizen.
I don't think
but of course, Trump is going to get his information from his closest people. And I think that's where it's coming from. That's the last time we'd heard, of course, and then the suspension of the aid even before that. But I think his pipeline into South African issues is Elon Musk, and
and it's all going to be colored that way, which is interesting. That is where we leave it, John Day. Thank you, as always. Awesome to chat to you. It is 7 o'clock. I'd love your thoughts on 061-895-1019. Do you think that the Trump-Zelensky meeting was a setup, or do you think that it unfolded spontaneously? I'd love to hear from you.